Yesterday I mentioned about a friend of mine came to my house to teach me the second chapter of the book of Acts. They told me that the Holy Ghost and the speaking in tongues was only for the 12 apostles. They said, it's not for the ordinary Christian. But then again, is there ever an ordinary Christian? Don't you think that Christians are extraordinary? I do. But anyway, they said it was not for the everyday Christian like you, like me. This was only for the apostles. But then I pointed out in the scriptures some ordinary people that received this same Holy Spirit that the 12 apostles received. I found one incident in Acts chapter 8. You remember the story. The Samaritan people had received the word of God with joy, had been baptized in the name of Jesus, but had not received the Holy Ghost. When Peter and John got there, they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. It was so evident that even Simon the sorcerer saw that through the laying on of the hands, the Holy Ghost was given. Simon could see it. Simon could hear it. Again, when Peter went to Cornelius' house, while he was preaching, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word, and they knew it because they heard them speak with tongues and magnify the Lord. Cornelius, he was a man of another nation, of another nationality, but whether he was ordinary or not, he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We know that he was not an apostle, yet he received the Holy Ghost as well as the apostles. Even the man who wrote these scriptures that I have quoted to you was not an apostle, yet God used him mightily. It's lesson time now. We're talking about the church. Scoot up your chair and lean in. Welcome back to this lesson on the church. Yesterday we spoke about the church, and I read from the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew and the 18th verse. Today I'm going to read that same verse, plus I'm going to read from Matthew the 18th chapter and the 17th verse. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Before I read from chapter 18, I like to ask the question, what is the church? The word church is used more than 100 times in the Bible. Paul used it more than 30 times in the book of Corinthians. In the Bible, we read about the church that was at Jerusalem, the church which was in Centralia, the church that was in Antioch. And in Revelations, we read about 7 churches. And you know what seems odd to me? Is that in these 7 churches of Asia that Christ wanted John to write letters to, he didn't mention the church at Corinth. You know, I would have thought for sure that if any church needed a letter of reprimand, it would have been the church at Corinth. This church had problems. This church had many problems. Not just one problem, but apparently the preaching of Paul, the corrective letters which he wrote to them, apparently set them back on the right road and in the right order. Paul believed in order in the church, and apparently Paul was able by his preaching and by his letters to have this church in such a spiritual state that Jesus didn't find it necessary to send them a letter, a reprimand. So, when I mention all of these churches, it lets me know that the church is not only the body of Christ, but the church is the various born-again believers from around the world that come together in groups to worship Him, to praise Him, to lift His name up, to preach and teach the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit, that the members of the church, which is in the body of Christ, would be edified, would be encouraged, would be provoked to good works, would bear one another's burden. This is the kind of group that I call the church. Not only do I call it the church, not only do I call these people, these born-again believers, these who are in unity in the faith, a church, is that Jesus referred to the group of believers as a church. In the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew, in verse 15, Jesus said this, "If your brother shall trespass against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he shall hear you, then you have gained your brother. But if he will not listen to you, then take with you one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. And if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto you as a heathen man and a publican." Jesus referred to those precious saints as a church. Jesus says, "Tell it to the church." Was Jesus simply saying, "Tell me"? Or was he saying, "Tell that group of believers that you have united with, tell them, the church. And if the man will not hear them," and he called them the church, "then let him be as a heathen unto you." Different people have different pictures of what the church is supposed to be. So I would ask you, what picture do you form in your mind when you think of the church? Some think of the church as a food pantry. It's where they go every Wednesday to get their rations. They go there to get their food. Most of them never dart the doors in the worship sanctuary. They always go to the food pantry. That's all they want. They want their daily bread, and they look to the church. But the church is more than a filling station. It's more than a place to come and get food for your table. It's a place to come to get food for your soul. It's a place where you can come together with people of like faith, people that you have the same things in common, the people who worship God the way you worship God, the people who read the Bible like you do, people who are led by the Spirit, not driven by a program. Many churches today are program driven. I'm looking for a church that Spirit-led, aren't you? I believe that every Spirit-filled, Spirit-led church will provide for the hungry, for the orphans, for the widows. God's Word teaches us to give to those that are in need, not to close up our hands from the neighbor that would ask. God wants His Spirit-filled children to be generous to all people, and especially to those that are of the household of faith. The church that I attend has a food pantry, and every week we supply groceries to many families. Our church does it cheerfully, not begrudgingly, but that's not the primary function of the church. The primary function of the church is to win the lost to Jesus Christ. The church is a repository for the divine work of God, for His Word, for His Spirit, for His grace to be extended to all mankind. And my friend, that is what the church means to me. That's the picture I get of the church. A soft place to land. A place where I can find a kind word. A place where I can find a brother or a sister that will encourage me. That will lift me up in the Lord. That will pray for me. That will intercede for me. Listen to what Peter said about the church, how he described those called out ones of God. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light.